Welcome to this special episode of Awaken to Grace. I'm so excited to have Alex Bowers joining us today for what is going to be a great conversation. Alex leads our family life department. She's on staff with us here at Preaching Christ Church. And today we are going to talk about a topic that affects so many families. And today, Alex, we are going to talk about blended families and particularly about co-parenting. You have a lot of experience in this. You got a story to share, and I'm excited for all of our listeners to hear your story and to hear your own wisdom and insights on this. But Alex, right off the bat, before we get into your story, tell us why the issue of the church getting this right with blended families, co-parenting, why is it such a big topic in today's culture?
Absolutely. So in doing some research, as of 2019, we were looking 42% of adults have a blended family relationship of some sort, with either being a step parent or having a, you know, having stepchildren or being the biological parent that brought a stepchild into a relationship. The U.S. Bureau of Census says 1,300 new step families are formed each day.
Wow.
And 40% of families in the U.S. are blended with at least one partner having a child from a previous relationship before marriage. That leaves about 16% of children are living in blended families. And this is from 2021. So I imagine it's probably a little higher now, but there's not current stats on it.
Wow. So 1,300 blended families are created every day.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That is a lot. And this is, I mean, you hear stats like that, and you know, our church is absolutely no different than any other church. We are dealing with this issue in a big way. Do you see that a lot, even in our family life department, where, you know, like, you know, we'll have kids one weekend, but then they're going to miss the next or the next two because they're with another set of parents? Do you see that a lot?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my own family contributes to this. So it is something that we see a ton of. There's several that you are kind of like, you know, they're here one week and they're not here the next. And, or it's, you know, well, I have to leave early. And so there, it's definitely affecting even in our church. And how do we help, you know, families and kids kind of cope through that,
right,
and come alongside them is a huge part of what I look at with our family ministry and ministering to our families as a whole and what their family may look like.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always encourage blended families when I counsel with them that a blended family can absolutely work. It can have God's blessing. It can have God's favor all over it. And Alex, your story, it is a testimony of that. Tell us about you and Chase and tell us about your own family.
So Chase and I had just celebrated our 6th anniversary, and we each brought a child into our marriage. The oldest was almost 10 when we got married, and the youngest, and our now middle child was 2. So we each brought them in at different stages in life, and then now we have a biological child between the two of us. So we are super blended, as I like to call it, from all sides. On top of that, my parents are also divorced and we're remarried with children. So I grew up in this as well. So this is something that I have seen done really well. And I have on the flip side seen done really terribly and how that can carry lasting effects. You know, things haven't always been easy, even in mine and Chase's relationships and co-parenting with our two oldest parents, which are obviously different. Sometimes it's been really good. And then there's been other times where, you know, forget being on the same page. We weren't even in the same book. And we had to navigate through that. We didn't always do it great. But we found the more we worked at it, it helped balance our children. It brought a balance within our home. And I think it's a really great way that we can kind of show how the family of God works.
So now you guys are 6 years into your marriage. Mm-hmm. You're leaders in the church. You, from everything that I can tell, you know, no one's a perfect family, right? But you guys seem to be a happy, you seem to be a healthy family. When did things turn a corner when it come to managing being a blended family, when it came to the idea of co-parenting?
You know, I have to go back to Thanksgiving of last year, as we sit here in November, we had the most beautiful Thanksgiving I have ever seen. And it was this picture of really, this is what it is. We had Thanksgiving at our house, and there was Chase and I, our three boys, my mom, my brother. But then we also had our middle son's mother, her husband, and her mother all sitting at one table in my living room. That is when I sat down and I kind of looked around, and it was, you know what? This is what it's about.
Things are peaceful.
It's so peaceful, but it was the purpose of we were coming together because there was a child in between us that we had our focus on. And when you have it kind of in balance like that, it was beautiful to sit there and share a meal and laugh and carry on. And that is forever. I regret I didn't take a picture of that day, or I would have a huge one hanging on my wall. But we were so caught up in the moment, even that didn't cross my mind. But that was really, okay, this is what it's all about, is the child and how do we give him the absolute best life possible in the middle of the circumstances, you know, we already created. He didn't create these. We did. But how do we move forward from there?
That's really amazing. Alex, you talk about, you know, last Thanksgiving and what a special time it was, this picture of peace among your family. Tell us, how did it get there? What were the practical steps of it getting to where it was last Thanksgiving?
You know, I laugh because I look back, and if you would have asked us at one point in time if that would have ever happened, both sides would have told you absolutely not. And we've talked about that now, even as to how far it's come. Number one is a whole lot of prayer, and having people around you who are not going to encourage you out of the situation, but pray you through the situation. You have to sometimes buckle down and understand that this is what you're here for. It's not always easy, especially when you're looking at situations. A lot of times when parents split, whether they were married or not married, there's hurt. There's a lot of hurt. And I think one of the biggest things is learning to put your hurt aside for a common goal of the child or the children that are involved. That was a huge thing that we had to overcome in all of our co-parenting side, is stepping away from that hurt and saying, yes, this really hurt. I'm hurt. You're hurt. But now how do we go forward? How do we make this a thing? And so prayer was huge. Another verse that I held on to intently was, treat others how you want to be treated. You have to be the change you want to see. Sometimes there are high conflict situations, or maybe it's a person who doesn't know Jesus. The other parent doesn't have that relationship with Jesus. It's just like anybody you come in contact with, we are to be Jesus to the world. And sometimes just starting right there is where it begins. Being the change that you want to see in someone else. Do you sometimes have to swallow some pride pills? Absolutely.
But it's worth it for peace, isn't it?
Oh my goodness. I can still see sitting at that table. It was the most beautiful thing. And I'm not going to say, even now, I'm not going to say it's this always this walk in the park. You're different people. I mean, it takes work to make a marriage work. And you're not necessarily always in high conflict. So it's going to take work to make any relationship. And so it doesn't mean that it's always a breeze, but the end result makes it so worth it. Yeah,
worth and your the effort.
Children having that balance.
Yeah. You know, you talk about your guy's middle son. I get a chance to hang out with him a little bit because, we get to take him to school on some days. He's a funny kid, man. I love that kid so much. What kind of positive changes have you seen in your kids since, you know, things have turned a corner in the whole family dynamic?
Oh, man. There used to be tension of, well, this isn't my scheduled time to be here. Or, wait, that came from this house. There was, you know, as you said, he's very particular. He's extremely intelligent. So he could keep up with what days, what's what. It amazes me. I go through his closet and he's like, oh, wait, I know where that came from. And we bought it when he was two. Like, his memory is impeccable, but it also carried a lot of stress for him. So the more we started to work together, we started even making a point to, they've been to our house. We have been to even family functions of theirs. And we have watched him relax, because now it's, you know what? This is just my family and this is how it looks. It has allowed him, kids like to sometimes play games between parents, and it has made it a lot easier because he knows we talk. He knows we're on the same page. So it's also helped to hold him accountable. He doesn't get to kind of play that back and forth that you'll see a lot in co-parenting. We can have a conversation. We can go to dinner. But the relaxation in him, and we get to show him a piece of how Jesus's family works. And that's been my favorite, because as a family unit for Jesus, we're not all on the same page all the time. We don't have the same gifts. We don't think the same way. We don't do things exactly the same. But our goal should be the same of loving our Savior and showing others him. And it's the same thing. We get to show him that our goal is to love him and to teach him to love others right. And nothing else matters.
Alex, you know, I grew up in a blended family as well. I have several brothers and sisters. We all have different dads, moms. And the thing that I always found really interesting is how in the world all of our parents could come to some sort of consensus when it came to preference on raising us. So what is some practical advice you could give listeners? Like, how do you practically kind of come together and try to do your best to be on the same page on just how you approach parenting as a philosophy in general?
Well, first thing, communication is key. You have to have a line of communication. You also have to understand and have a respect for them of knowing that you're going to do things differently. Parenting styles are like everything, or just like clothing styles. Nobody is the exact same. So there kind of has to be communication and respect. Now, at the same time, there's going to be things that the other parent may do that you're like, I would never. And sometimes it's having, you have to have that conversation with an open mind of, hey, I don't necessarily agree with this, but can you explain to me why you feel it's best? You got to go into it with an open mind, but you also have to be willing to say, this is why I don't like it. And sometimes you have to pick your battles, just being really honest, because you can't control how every parent does things in their house, just like they can't control how you do things in your house.
That is a great piece of advice. Pick your battles. Not every hill is a hill to die on.
Yes. Now, clearly, we're not talking, if it's something that you feel is in danger to your child, that's a whole different ballgame. But just in your general parenting styles, just
and
know
preferences.
That, and preferences. Yeah. Like I said, it's just like your clothing styles. We don't all dress the same. Why would we? Your houses aren't decorated the same. Why are you going to run them the same? Your house has to function for you, and you have to understand their house has to function for them. So, yeah, picking your battles is huge. It's not worth the fight on everything.
This has been so helpful today. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you just to boil everything down to here are the simple, here are the practical steps. Here are the keys to really co-parenting successfully. So I'm going to ask you that in just a moment. But before I ask you that, you know, one of the reasons why we want you on staff here is because you're so passionate about discipling children. You're so passionate about seeing them grow up in the love of God and being transformed by the gospel. In your view, I mean, what are the responsibilities of co-parenting well when it comes to the gospel? How are we to reflect the gospel? How do we show the gospel in not only our current marriage, but even and the children we're raising, but in our past relationships? How does all that mix and all that blend into a great gospel testimony?
This might be my favorite question you've asked. You know, a huge part of just my, I guess, life verse is in Psalm 78, where it's train the generations and the children yet unborn. So when I look at my co-parenting, is how do I want my kids' generation to look different than mine? Like I said, I come from, my grandparents were divorced, my parents were divorced, and unfortunately, I didn't end that statistic. So I look at it as, how do I make them want to do it differently? I don't want them to see our co-parenting and go, this is great, let's do this. No, I want them to see that this can be good, but how can it be better? So in looking at the gospel and how I want them to see it is, this is how everybody can come together. At the end of the day, when we join the family of God, we're not the same. We're not, I don't have the same gifts that you have, or I don't teach the same way that you teach, or I don't, you know, but we have the same goal, which is for the same Savior. And I want my children to see that as much as we are all working for the same Savior, we're also working to make their life the best possible. That you're not defined by your past mistakes. That you don't have to be what your family always was. Part of the whole Thanksgiving meal thing that we talked about that I love, my husband had never sat at a table with his mother and father together. My middle child's mother had also never sat at a table with her mother and father together. So you want to talk about the opportunity to break generational curses? My baby got to sit there, and I got to see him sit at a table with his mother and father together. So you get a chance to break generational curses and show them that they don't have to be what was. So this is a step that they, you know, we've taken to break generational curses. Now it's your turn to take it a step further. And how do we, in grounding him in that?
Just, it really shows the power of the gospel, doesn't it?
Oh, man.
Because
it transforms.
Isn't it not beautiful? It transforms. Fantastic. We've enjoyed our conversation so much today. But, you know, for those listening, for those who right now, you know, their prayer has been, God, help our family to smooth out. Let peace come to our family. They're in the throes of this thing. They're in the struggles of it. Boil it down. What are the practical steps? What would make their co-parenting situation improved? Help them understand that.
You know, I do, first off, thank you so much for the opportunity, because this is something that I'm very passionate about. And I think number one would be, you've got to put your child or children above your pain and your hurt. That's going to be practical step number one. Is it easy? No, but that has to be step number one. And number two, be the communication that you want to receive. You have to be that catalyst for change. You can't expect what you're not willing to give. So sometimes that means picking your battles. Sometimes that means being patient and biting your tongue when you may want to say something you shouldn't. So you have to be the change you want to see. Number three is pray. Have those people around you, too, that will not try to, you don't want somebody that's going to talk about the frustrations with you. You want somebody that's going to push you towards the better and pray you through it. We had people around us that did that, and I can't thank them enough for praying us through those hard days. And number four, be patient. People are different. And just like you want grace, you have to give it.
Doesn't the scripture say be slow to speak and swift to hear?
Man, it does. It does. And it's so hard to do that, though.
Oh, you don't do that perfectly?
When I'm asleep, maybe.
Well, Alex, I know what you have shared today, not just your own personal experience in this, but your insights as a ministry leader. I know it is going to help many families. If a family wanted to reach out to you directly, if they had other questions or they wanted someone to pray with them or counsel them in their own situation, how would someone get a hold of you?
I can be reached with my email, which is abowers, that's B as in boy, O-W-E-R-S, P-C-C, @gmail.com. I would love to come alongside anybody through this, because I've seen the good and I've seen the bad, and I want to propel you to the next step of good.
At Preaching Christ Church, we really want to equip families, not to be religious, but to follow Jesus, to be true, authentic disciples. And Alex, you help us do that very well. You truly help us accomplish that mission and further that mission. So thank you very much for it. Well, I hope that you've enjoyed this edition of Awakened to Grace. Go to awakenedtograce.com to find other resources. Thank you for joining us today.